real, an actual one, and it has really two parts. The first is technical, and the second is more fundamental. We'll try to portion the time appropriately. Obviously, we can spend much more than an hour and a half on these issues. There's a Gemara, which is quoted here from Masechta Yevamos, but it's actually found in Masechta Ksubos as well. For those who are learning Ksubos, maybe you came across it in your Bekiyas Seder. It's in Yevamos, on Daf Yud Beis and Mid Beis, and Ksubos Lama Tesam and Alf. The same Gemara. Shalosh Noshim Mishamashas B'moch, Kitana Muberes Amenika. Fear of danger. Divrei Meir. Chama Omrim. Shamashas Gadarka. V'Shamayim Yirachmu Shenema Shama B'Soham Hashem. That's the Gemara. So, what is Moch? It's a matter of significant dispute. What does the word Moch mean? Rashi, Mishamshas b'Moch. Mutaras lo says Moch b'Mokom Tashmish k'shein Mishamshas k'desh lo yis'abru. They fill up the entire cavity with cotton, something which absorbs all the zera. Nothing gets through, so she cannot become pregnant. Tosfos doesn't like Rashi. Tosfos says, in Rabbeinu Tam, Lifnei Tashmish Vare Os Liten Shamoch Dein Derech Tashmish Bekach For you can matil Zera Al Ha'etzim V'al Ha'avonim K'shematil Al Ha'moch. Very serious problem. It's what's called Hashchos HaZera, Hatzor HaZera Levatola. To Rebbeinu Thompson, that's out of the question. Forget it. So what does it mean? Isha Shenosenes Achakach Moch. Ah, that the couple lives together normally. After the Bia, so then the woman inserts a moch to absorb all the zera and to get rid of it so she should not become pregnant. That's under discussion in the sugya. Yes, no, maybe. Danger, no danger, shama psalm, no shama psalm. That's a machlok between Rashi and Tosfos, Rabbi Natan. Clear? Everyone understands? We're trying to go slowly. Now, the effectiveness of Rabbi Natan's method is somewhat questionable, as anyone who knows. But okay, you do what you can. Now, the discussion in the sugya is limited to Shalosh Nashim. What about other nashim? With no chashash sakana? So Rabbi Natan would scream for sure that shimush b'moch is not allowed. Lifnei tashmish. Even in the case of the shalosh nashim, it's not allowed. According to Rashi, get an impression. It's machlokas of man nechachamim. With respect to the Shalosh Nashim. But the big question is, what are a man and a Chachamim arguing about? Are they arguing whether it's Mutter or whether it's Asur? Or are they arguing whether it's a Chiyuv because of Pikuach Nefesh or not? Rabbeinu Tam in the last line of Tosfos says, "Tzrichos the Shabbos v'moch." she must. And Chacham says she need not. So here's somewhat of an irony. Rabbi Natam, whose method we don't want to really rely upon in terms of fact, he'll be the one to say that even according to the Chachamim, that she need not, but there's not necessarily any prohibition. According to Rashi, whose method we'd like to use, or the equivalent, says the Machlokas is whether it's Mutter L'Shamash or Asul L'Shamash. We pass in Asul L'Shamash. Even these three women, Kavachom, are a typical woman who's not in danger. So we have no Nachas in this Gemara. So far, whichever way you slice it, Rashi or Rabbeinu Tam, Moch is Asur for a woman who's not in danger. Is that clear? Is there a possibility of a third opinion? The Rabbah, do you have these Makorah sheets? We never got them. I'm trying to learn inside as much as we can. And we can't read every line, obviously. So there's a Mordechai. This is page number 5 in this source sheet. What does he say? I'll read it. Shalosh Nashim Misham Shas Vemelch Pirish Rashi Mutaras. Rabbi Natam says, no. You cannot compare it to a katana and an idleness who cannot have children. No, but that's Derech Tashish Bekach, normal. Otherwise, it's not. When the Tam says, Srichos to Shamash Moch, what kind of Moch? Shadashim, Einan Srichos, Miwi Borel to Shamash Moch, Lekha Yisura. Now notice, he quotes half Rabbi Natam, but the other half. The fact that Rabbi Natam says the Machlokas is whether you're required or not required, but everyone knows it's Mutter, that the Mordechai did quote. The fact that the Rabbi Natam changed the case from Moch B'Shas Tashmish to Moch L'Acha Tashmish, that's not found. So a third possibility exists.
Didn't you just say that the Mordechai is using the Rabbeinu Tam's definition of moch when he says moch? Like, Rabbeinu Tam gives a definition. When you use this term, this is what it means.
But Rabbeinu Tam, that part of Rabbeinu Tam is not quoted in the Mordechai.
Tosfos. He's just using the term. So
you should. He quotes Rashi. Could be. So, you don't accept it from the Mordechai? Good. Let's go to the Ritva. No problem. We have the Ritva, the fancy edition of the Ritva. Those who know the Ritva and Yevamos know that it's mostly footnotes. And I even put a few footnotes on the Makoma sheet because the footnotes are really great and are very on point for us. The Ritva itself, although this citation in this edition spans 6 pages, it's not much of the Ritva. It's mostly footnotes. So what did Ritva himself say? Quotes Rashi, that Shar Nashim is Asuros HaShamesh. But he doesn't say Tosis reason, because the husband is in violation. Rather, he says, if there's... He says, Tashmish Mamoch Lav Orach Arahu, the call to Havale Moch Bishas Tashmish, Afilu, catch this word now, Afilu Lididei Ika Yisura, Tavale Ke Mishamish Alavanim Alaitzim. Even for him. Why even? What's her issue? Her issue is more apparent than his issue, according to the Ritva. Her issue is, she is destroying life. She is active and preventing life, new life from coming into being. So her violation, according to the Ritva, is worse than his. This is pointed out, those who have the source, the third page already of the 6. Footnote 787. See from the Ritva. There's more of a svara to asa for her then for him, we would say not the way. He has a Torah Zeh Levatola, and what does she have? So he says, for the husband, it's nonetheless Derech Tashmish. Even though there's some blockage on the by the part by the moch, since the typical bia happens in a normal fashion, even though the zera is going to end up on the moch and not in the uterus, and then we can't get in there, it's still considered to be derech tashmish. So the her yisur is greater than his. That's the ritva. Wait a minute. What's his isser? He used an expression, Havale ki mishamesh alavar v'aleitzim. So the Achronim say the kuf is critical. Ki. But not really. Doesn't mean it's like ma'asa er v'onan, which is hashchasa zera. That wouldn't be allowed. Proof. Lo itira begimonashim. The Gemara later on in Yevamos. Had it been that violation, it would not have been mutter for these three women, because the mitzvah's owner, says the Chazanish. And it's even a bigger proof. What's the bigger proof? Let's read a little bit further. The Ritva doesn't like it. The Igimul Noshim Mutaras Shamash B'Moch Amar Imken Ki Ami Kodem Azman B'Shamash means Eina Mutaras. So before the age of 11, when she can't become pregnant at all, it's not allowed. V'Amai Kevon She'Eina Misaberes Kol Ikar before 11 Eina Moch Mala Umorit Klum. The Moch is an irrelevancy. There's no pregnancy he's going to prevent. So here, in footnote 792, the Beis Meir and other poskim, how can it be? If it's considered Maisa Erev Onan, Eitzim Vavonim, who cares? She could have become pregnant otherwise or not. It's an irrelevancy. The answer is, that we said before, has to be true. The Isser from the perspective of the man, which is less than her Isser. Ein ze mitam ma'as erv onan. Sterach tashmish v'guf nena miguf. It's especially the Gemara in Megillah, which he's lifting from the Marashal Yamshel Shlomo. It's a separate Isser of Ibud Zera. And from the perspective of Ibud Zera, Begadol, which is a little bit of a general prohibition, hers is worse than his, because she's doing what her own... She put the moch there. He obviously is not Erev Onan. This is the opinion of the Ritva, as explained by the beautiful footnotes here. Okay, we're almost done with the Ritva. We've been reading quickly. So what's the real pshat? More than that, how can the Chachamim allow Meshamshes Kedarka? I mean, even these three only allowed, they don't have to. Why? Sakonos Nefoshes. What kind of Shema Psalm Hashem? He doesn't like Shema Psalm Hashem in this context. Therefore, he says no. Chayavos, as Rabbi Natam said. They have to. To the last page. But sometimes, Mutaros, Ketana, less than 11, sometimes Asuras, Kigon Gedola, What's he saying? What's he driving at? So, the Ritva seems to be working on an assumption that there's no absolute real prohibition here of Ashkosa Zer, but there's a generalism. And therefore, Al Rabo say Alocha Lamaisa, the Ritva comes out that if a pregnancy is possible, there are certain prohibitions in stopping it from happening. Her prohibition, his prohibition. But let's say it can't happen physically, she's under the age of 11, there's no prohibition whatsoever. And to which I extend this to a situation in which she's not allowed to have a child for health reasons. And I'll be a liberal and extend it even to a case in which she's not required to have a child, or they're not required to have a child. Which we'll get to a little bit later. Seems to be there for Halacha Lamaisa, Moch according to the Ritva, and I think we have a right to pass in this way, will be permissible in a case in which some other contraceptive method would have been approved by the Rabbonim. Let's take birth control pills. So birth control pills is no barrier at all. So that's what's called the prevention from becoming pregnant. Is that allowed? Not necessarily. If you find a case when it's allowed, there'll be no difference according to the Ritva between using birth control pills or using moch. If you have a case where the rabbi says, no, birth control is inappropriate, there'll be an additional prohibition according to the Ritva in using moch over and above the failure to fulfill pruruvu. It will move from an error of omission to an error of commission. So says the Ritva, as I understand it. The Maharshal is more makel than the Ritva. The Yamshul Shlomo seems to be allow moch all the time by combining half of Rashi and half of Tosis, as I said to you before, as the Mordechai seems to say. So this leads us to a fundamental question, which is, well, is a woman permitted to practice birth control in the first place? Are there any circumstances under which it's allowed? So the answer is obvious to us anyway. Yes, where there's danger involved. So where there's danger involved, she can certainly use birth control pills to avoid becoming pregnant. Whether she may, in fact, use moch is a matter of dispute among the achronim. Some achronim go as far as here, b'kivegech, some sofer, based on sugya, that even Bokon and Tashkon to Rabbeinu Tam is such a serious violation, it's us even Bisakonah. So you have to get divorced or be perished till the Sakonah passes. That's how far as these Gedolim want to go. Rabbi Moshe is old Shuvah, it's not true. So for Sakonah, you be Mekel. Rabosai, to my knowledge, there's no one that we know that uses moch as it was used in the primitive time of the Chachmei HaTalmud, which would mean taking cotton, filling up the whole vaginal cavity so that nothing can get through. Much more sophisticated moch-type barrier methods are used nowadays. Now they usually call it something called the diaphragm. Diaphragm is a covering of the cervical opening, so the zera of the husband can't get through. It's a barrier. What is the status of this diaphragm? Is it the same as moch, or is it not the same as moch? It's a big fight. Many gedolim say this has nothing to do with moch. In the old days, when the entire cavity was filled with cotton, so the husband and the wife to the act of bia, so the husband can feel the moch, and that his body is touching the moch, and the zera is going straight onto the moch. A diaphragm, when properly inserted, the man does not know if it's there or not there. there were certain paternity suits, you know, all kinds of cases where the woman said to her husband that there was a diaphragm and there wasn't a diaphragm. There are kinds of tyrus about it. It cannot be felt as a general rule. It's too far in. So therefore, many of the Maharsham already said in his day, 100 years ago, this is not moch. This is much better than moch. Moch is a problem. This is not even a problem. So therefore, in my view, we have a right to rely upon these poskim. That whenever, again, whenever birth control is appropriate, a pialacha, the diaphragm can be used for two reasons. One, if the Maharsham is right, there's no problem in the first place. And two, even if he's not right, according to the way we understood the Ritva, it's mutter anyway. Okay, this concludes part one of today's shiur. A brief discussion of technical issue of diaphragms with respect to contraception. Let's just mention a few other methods that exist today. We mentioned pills before. Pills are great as long as they're healthy and then they don't cause all kinds of side problems, which they sometimes do. They call it an IUD, intrauterine device, which in my view is also mutter kwanta halacha. There are those who say no, it causes an early abortion. In my view, as long as he was there before the couple was together, you can't say, well, there was a viable fetus which was aborted. It was not viable before it started. I think it's okay. Should be aware that sometimes there are halachic complications of some of these methods. Both pills and the new hormonal IUDs called Mirena can cause intermittent bleeding, all kinds of halachic problems. That's a Hilchos Nida issue, not for this moment. What's not allowed is a condom. Because a condom, which covers the Eiver HaIsh, according to many poskim, that really is an issue of matal al etzim val avona, because the zera of the husband never gets to the wife's body at all. It's collected in the condom, which is on his body. Are there any exceptions? In theory, but I don't know if we'll get to them. And as a general rule, it's not allowed. Okay, this completes the first part of this presentation. Now let us discuss the much more fundamental issue of the mitzvah of Pru Revu. And how it fits into what we call here family planning. So I refer you to a maimer which came out in the most recent Beis Yitzchak, which I'll be citing. Those who want to look it up later on can find it there. And again, the sources are mostly not here, but they're easily accessible. The Mishnah says, "Lo yivatel adam mipiru v'rivya, elam kein yesh lo bonim." Called the Beis Hillel of a son and a daughter. What does that mean? Should not be mivatel from Pru Revu, but if you have a son and a daughter, then you can be mivatel from Pru Revu. What do you mean mivatel? You already fulfilled Pru Revu. What can you mean mivatel? The simple pshat of the Mishnah is that a boy and a girl is a minimum, but the more the merrier. So you can mivatel from a greater fulfillment of the mitzvah d'oraisa, the first mitzvah in the Torah, of Pru Revu, is the chi of a boy and a girl, and a kiyum beyond that, d'oraisa. But what exactly is the nature of this mitzvah of Pru Revu? It's an unusual mitzvah. You know, we take a lulav, it's done. What is the nature of the mitzvah over here? So the Rambam writes, it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in the opening Siman, Siman Aleph. For those who I have the source sheet. Maybe it's here. Evan has a Siman Aleph. Should be here. Isha Shehirshes is Bala Achar Nisur Shimon El Nosa Areza Mutter. The woman says to her husband, you don't have to fulfill the mitzvah of Ona. We read in a few weeks, Sherek Susva Nosla Yigra, certain intervals, she can be Moichel. By Medma Amurim, Shahayulo Bonim, Shefer Kiyim Mitzvah Puruvru, Avalo Kiyim, there's no boy and girl yet, presumably. Chayav Livo Bechol Ona Shiyulo Bonim, Meshi Mitzvah Sashal Torah Shanema Puruvru. This Rambam seems to me to be saying that the Maisa Mitzvah Puruvu, for which a person receives schar, as he does for any mitzvah say, is the fulfillment of the Bia B'Cholona. The couple lives together naturally, and there are intervals prescribed by the Chazal, Mishnayos and Ksubos. That's it. He did the right thing. Having a boy and a girl, it's not within your control. A, whether you have children at all, it's not in your control. B, you can have all the same gender. That's not your requirement. However, if a person has a boy and a girl, this, listen very carefully, this is considered the fulfillment of the mitzvah insofar as that now that he has the boy and the girl, the mitzvah puruvu no longer applies to him. Doesn't mean that he actually had the kiyum hamitzvah of puruvu. No, I'll find your case. We had no kiyum hamitzvah, and nonetheless, he's partner from Puruvu. Who wants to guess what the case is? Anybody?
Children die.
What? Children die, then that's the flip side. You're right, but it's the flip side. They had fulfilled Puruvu, he had the Kiyama Mitzvah he had, initially, but now that he no longer has a son and a daughter, he has to start all over again. Because in point of fact, he doesn't have it. What'd you say? Very good. He had children when he was not Jewish. We pasuk of Yochanan Yevam Samer Beis that there's no longer an obligation of Puruvu upon him. What do you mean? The Gemara has, if a person fulfills a mitzvah when he's pater, it doesn't count. A katan, a shaita. He did it when it didn't count. He was not Jewish. The answer is, we're not discussing mitzvah points over here. So it's a reality check. He has a boy and a girl. That's it. No, he need not go any further. Doesn't matter when the boy and the girl were born. When he was Jewish, not Jewish. It doesn't make a difference. He has a boy and he has a girl. And as you said before, the reverse is also true. Now, the Minchas Chinuch is bothered with this question. Mitzvah Aleph, in Os Ches, in the new editions. And he suggests that the Bia is a Hechsher Mitzvah, and the Mitzvah is the having of children. This is how he explains the Ritva in Yivamos Chav Beis. A man has a child from an illicit relationship. Child's a mamzer, Rachmano Litzlan. So he still fulfills the mitzvah, says the Ritva. Gewalt! It's a mitzvah haba b'aveira. Says the Menachas Chinuch, no. The aveira takes place only with respect to the hechshem mitzvah, which is the bia. The children are born later on. He compares it to someone who instead, we know if you have matzah, which is stolen, or some other macholas asuris, so that's called mitzvah babaver. What happens if a person carries matzah, this he pays on Shabbos, he carries matzah from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, so there, you fulfill the mitzvah of matzah, even though the heksha mitzvah was done by Avera. That's what Menachas Chinuch says. According to our interpretation, the opposite of Menachas Chinuch, no. The person will not get mitzvah points for this fathering of a boy and a girl. He will not. It's B.S. Iser. It's above Avera. Bottom line, he has a boy and a girl. Same as he had to do when he was not Jewish. Frankly, Menachas Chinuch, what I'm saying is against Tosfos. Because Tosfos says, question asked the Halosa say, Baba Basdaf Yud Gimel. Tosfos answers that the violation is the beginning, the Tchilas Bia, the Hara, and the mitzvah is only at Gemar Bia. Says the Menachas Chinuch, I don't understand Tosfos. The mitzvah is only 9 months later. It's not 9 seconds later, it's 9 months later. Hey, big difference, would you say? But the way we understood it, the Tosfos is correct. The Maisa Mitzvah is the Gemara Bia, that's it. What happened to the following situation? Yes?
So the having a boy and girl is some other chiyuv?
No, there cannot. The Torah cannot be mechayiv to do what you cannot do. You cannot, for all the money in the world, well, I don't talk to modern science, have a boy and a girl. You're going to keep trying. Either your wife will, after a certain time, be not able to have more children, or she has all boys. Whatever. It's not in your hands. The chiyuv is to live, to get married, and to have relations with the wife in the appropriate intervals. That's your chiyuv. If you have a boy and a girl, you're now that you are no longer required to pursue that chiyuv.
Why?
That's it. You have a boy and I have a girl. That's here. There's no official kiyuv as such because you had it when you were not Jewish. The following case. This. There's an expression in Shas, although we don't understand how it works. Of listen carefully, please. Nisabra ba'ambati. It can't happen according to the science of today, to my knowledge. Some man was in a bath and was mostly zera to the bath, and then the woman took a bath, she becomes pregnant. Whatever. So the Menachas Chinuch says, it goes in the Beis Shmuel and Siman Aleph, the man who was mostly the zera in the bath is considered his father. And he fulfills Puravu. Fulfills Puravu, what? Mitzvah Strichas Kavana. Well, what is this guy is sitting in the bath and some Zera comes out? What? The answer is, he has no Maisa Mitzvah. He won't get Olam Haba for this. But at the same time, biologically, and even halachically, there's a Jewish boy and a Jewish girl in the world today that relate to him. What'll happen if the man purposefully is motzi zera in order that this zera be introduced to his wife? Used to be called AIH, artificial insemination of the husband. Now it's called, I think, IUI. Intrauterine insemination. I think he has a mitzvah. He can't do it the regular way for whatever technical and medical reason. Okay. What about the following case, gentlemen? It's a very common case. I want to cry about it, but it's common. A non-Jewish man is married, quote-unquote, to a Jewish woman. So the Gemara says in Yevamos that they're not his children halachically. A non-Jew lives with a non-Jewish woman, they're his children. So then if he converts, he has a mitzvah to that. So the children also have to convert to machlokas. But if a non-Jewish man lives with a Jewish woman, his kids aren't his. They don't relate to him. Now the following shaila, gentlemen. Halacha l'maaseh comes up. A woman is unable to produce eggs for whatever reason. The doctor says you need a donor egg. They're looking around for donor eggs. It's hard to find. They can only find a non-Jewish donor. So they go through the IVF. Child is born. The father's not even related to that child because the father is Jewish and the child is not Jewish. They're assuming that the mother is the genetic mother, not Jewish. At first glance, if that's the case, it should be awesome and shemotzoa zera levatala even to enter into this situation. You should look dafka for a Jewish egg donor. It's hard to find. Potentially. Now it's interesting. Many of you have learned the sugya in Yevamos. It's quoted, it's in Gittin. The Gemara says that an Eved, in contrast to a non-Jew, has no yichus whatsoever. So if an Eved had a child and becomes free, it's start all over again. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara. It's a Mishnah, really. Chatzi Eved v'chatzi ben Chorin. Lisa Shifcha ena Yochel. What do you see from that? If it would be Yochel, it would be permissible for this gentleman to marry a Shifcha. So then it would be fine. Why? Why? You can't fulfill Puru Revu that way. This is what Tosa says. Quote, if he could marry a shifcha, we would not force his master to emancipate him. Quiet. Why? Kevan, the sheves miyo yoyochol lekayim, afalgav the pirilu mekayim b'ochi. Sheves is the key. What's sheves? Pasuk in Shayom. Lo sol bura l'sheves yitzara. She made the world to be populated. Had he been able to fulfill it, we would not force the master to free him because he's an onus. I think the same applies to a man who's an onus because his wife has no eggs. He can't find a Jewish donor. He doesn't want to use a Jewish donor. They're afraid of who knows what kind of prohibitions involved, whether marrying a sister, whatever they're worried about. You fulfill Shabbos through the donor egg of a non-Jew. And Shabbos is a mitzvah rabbah. You sell a Sefer Torah for Shabbos. That being the case, it seems to me that there's no violation of Otsoa Zer Levatola if a donor egg from a non-Jew is going to be used. That's why an Eved Ivri may marry a Shifcha. Sukkim and Chumash. There's no Puravu. It's Shabbos. Any questions so far, Bosa? Yes?
How's Eretz Yisrael Levatala to a non-Jew?
What happens is in IVF, the man is mostly Zera into a jar or something like that, and they use it to fertilize an egg. So if it's a Jewish egg, even from not his wife from a donor, Kavachomer, his wife, some couples have IVF, his Zera, her egg, just they couldn't do it naturally. That for sure is okay. A Jewish donor, the child is Jewish, so why should we call them Atala? He's doing it to produce a Jewish child. But it's a non-Jewish egg, and assuming for a moment that the child is not Jewish, that's another dispute. So then it would be a problem. But the answer is maybe it's mutter because it's Shabbos, even though it's not peruvim. That's what he spoke about. Good. Let us go on. There's a Mishnah. A man is married for 10 years, has no children, unfortunately. Eino ashar livatam. What do you do? Take a second wife. If necessary, divorce the first wife to be able to marry the second. So, Torah and Mishnah law, you can take two wives. So the Shulta says you compel him to divorce her if he needs to do that to get a second wife. Lo to bero l'shemes yitzara. Why? It says, Nasa isha esher v'lo yolda. She had even one child, that's enough. Doesn't say she didn't have a boy and a girl. We know many, many couples live for 10 years together, there's no boy and girl. Could be 5 boys, 10 girls, whatever they have, but it's not no one's going to force a divorce, that kind of a case. So the Netziv and the Shiltas quotes this and explains, fundamentally, Pruva was Shevis. Yes, it's one opinion of Nosson and of Samach Bezin in Yevamos. You fulfill the mitzvah Pruva with one child of any gender. Even though we be passing the halacha, in the Tziv's words, a boy and a girl is a mitzvah bialma. But the Yevid can be yotzei with one child. And to divorce your wife is a b'dievet for sure. Ad kan devarav. So now we move to another level. It says in the Gemara, Masechet Yevamos, famous Gemara. Hayu labanim b'yalduso, yu labanim b'ziknuso, baboka zra zarecha, v'le'erev al tanach yedecha, ki eincha yodeh, eze yichshar, eze ozem, v'shneem kecha tovim. Poskan Koelis. What's the level of this din? We'll call it from now on La'erev. That's the opposite. La'erev. Means La'erev al tanach yedecha. What kind of din is this? The Rambam writes here in Yevamos, Lav takantahi, ela ke'ein yishuv derech eretz. If you can't force a person to do this, to mitzvah l'chatchila, caught in the lach in the Beis Shmuel. Now I have a major problem on our hands. The Rambam said, we read it earlier, the Shulchan Aruch quotes it, that kol's man, they don't have children, then the husband's required to be bo'al kol ona to fulfill pruvu. Once they had children, the wife can be moichalim. Why? What happened to the era about tanach yodecha? That's the Beis Shmuel, the opening Beis Shmuel in Evidence. The Simon Aleph Os Aleph. Very well, first one. Rav's Lashon is as follows. Afal pi shekiyim adam pitzvah pir v'rivya, hey mitzuveh mit divrei sofrim, shal yivot lem yilifros v'livros kol zman shesh b'koach. Shekol ha-mosif nefesh achas b'Yisrael, ki lubona olam. The question becomes, so how can you skip a particular owner? So Pesachet Shuvah they quote, again the opening Pesachet Shuvah has it, Aleph Aleph, quotes the Birka Yosef. Im kiye piriv rivya, eno chayev liva l'bachol ona, eli mishum le'erev al tanach, sagi le'itim rechokos. Makes a lot of sense. Al tanach yodecha, don't stop. Doesn't say what rate you have to go. That's assuming that the Rambam holds it's the Chi of Gomer. That's how the Beis Shmuel understood. However, I'm not convinced. If you look at the Frankl Rambam, he quotes the Ramach on the side. He asks the Kasha, why is the Rambam not quoting the Pasuk which the Gemara quotes? La'erev al tanach yedecha. Where did he get it from, his idea? Rambam's Lashon is, Kol ha-mosef nefesh achas b'Yisrael ki lebona olam. Where did that come from? So they say, the Mefarshim, they're in the Frankl Rambam, this expression, Rabbi Osai, Kilubon Olam, is familiar to us. Sanhedrin Aflam Zayin, Hamatzel Nefesh Achaz Yisrael, Kilukiyim Olam Mole. So if saving a life is keeping the world alive, having a child is creating a new world. That being the case, it's not a chi of gomer of puruvu or lev. It's just a general idea of doing the right thing. So therefore, you can't blame a person for not choosing to do this right thing. There are many right things in this world. One right thing is to have more children. There are other right things. Okay. Now let's turn our attention to the yes, sir. The word mitzvah means it's a proper thing to do. I'm not denying it. But an absolute obligation doesn't sound like. It's a book called a kima mitzvah, which is important, but not an absolute chiv. That's how I would read it. Question now becomes, and this is back to the topic, family planning and halacha. The family plans. Rabbi Osai, where we come from, the family means a man and a woman who marry each other, as opposed to this country that has a different definition. Huh? That's our family. So they come together, the family, the man, the wife, they want to know, should they have children? How many children? What should they have children? That's what it means, planning. Implying that before this modern term, they just didn't have, there was no planning. They lived together, and whenever the child came, the child came. We're more sophisticated. We plan everything out. So we think. So the Ramah writes, again, you may have this in the back of your source sheet. Im yesh lo bonim harbe, um is yoresh lem yisa bas bonim yavo k'tozus um rivis bein abonim avein ishto. The man has many children. He lost his wife. If he takes a young wife, there could be new children, fights, takes an older wife who's post-menopausal, so he won't have any more children. Muta lisa isha she'ene bas bonim. Marry an older woman. Apparently, le'erev al tanach yedecha is not a chi of gomer. As I said before, it's a mitzvah l'chatchila. And you set it aside to avoid k'tata. Based on the Gemara in Yevamos Mem Dalet, Yibim is a mitzvah l'chatchila. You set it aside, Mishum Ktata, and you tell him to do the Chalitza instead. Now my Chiddush is as follows. The Ramah is referring to someone who is not married. What if someone is married? Can I tell one little story which is the memory of a great giant who fell recently? Rabbi Hillel Zaks, Zichron Levrach. He was the grandson of the Chafetz Chaim. When he was a young man in Lakewood, he would often not come to Minyan. So the Mashkiach came and says, what's going on with you? Grandson of the Chafetz Chaim, you're not coming to Minyan. So poor come to Minyan. So the story, I saw this story in print, and after he passed away, they quoted this story, but I knew about it from years ago. I mean, the specific details are not that critical. That he said to the Mashkiach, there's a lady, and she has a lot of children, and she's can't get him out in the morning to go to school, so I thought it's a little bit more important for me to do that. So the Mashkiach, such a lady. Where is this lady? We should all go to her. Who is this lady? I want to help her. Looks at him and says, it's my wife. So I said, we're talking now in the case of the Ramah person. He lost his wife and he has to take a new wife, and now he's afraid of having fights. And what if he's married? What if it's his own wife? He's afraid of having fights? So I thought same thing should apply. He shouldn't fight with his wife because he wants to fulfill Erev and she doesn't. No. Pesachet Shuvah goes further than that. This is also, I think, on your sheets in Simen Hay, Sivkot Yod Aleph, Kosa Chasam Sofer. If the man fulfills Sheves, it's permissible for her to go on what we'll call in today's language a permanent birth control pill. Now, if you could invent that, you'd become a billionaire instantly. Apparently the Gemara had one. It's called Koshal Ikrit. I have no idea what it was. I'm not sure what exactly it was. Whatever it may be. So, he says, yeah, it's permissible. Why? She's not required, quote from Chassam Sofer, Litzar Atzma Mebnei Shibudo V'Shemushubedes Labala. This means a tzar greater than average. So what do you see? You're allowed to stay with your wife. You don't have to divorce her and take another wife. Even though she's preventing you from the fulfillment of the era
about Tanakh Yedecha. What about the ritual we saw earlier? Would you disagree with this?
Not necessarily.
Didn't you explicitly say that there's an issue to stop people from being born? Isn't this right exactly what he's talking about?
No. It's easier to stop people from being born and using a moch, etc. When the halacha says you're supposed to be having children. So he says using moch is not only an error of omission, such as a birth control pill, it's an error of commission. But this couple that went to the rabbi, and the rabbi said she doesn't want, she has greater pain than average, she's not required to go to endure this, so you could have a mitzvah of erev. Not required. Rav Moshe writes in the Tshuva Chelek Gimel, Siman Chaf Dalet. If a woman's pregnancy is difficult for her, more than average woman, either because of illness or weakness, she can wait a while, even if she hasn't yet fulfilled Pururubu. Certainly she fulfilled Pururubu, she can wait up to 3 years. And if she's sick, she can stop having children completely. She's not required for Sheves or Le'erev to get sick more than the average woman. End quote from Amush. My humble opinion, this applies not only to someone who's either sick or weak, but to other extenuating circumstances. For example, a woman may be challenged with what we call today a special child. They may special children, it's a term that's been coined recently. There's some common, they have illnesses, they have certain mental health challenges, developmentally disabled, whatever the proper word is to use today. I thought, she's busy with this baby, this child's growing up. It's much more difficult than the average bringing up of a child. But Moshe doesn't seem to like it, but I thought it's true. Chazanish is quoted by the Sefer Nishmas Avraham. After having given birth to one child, one can use birth control, even a diaphragm, to prevent becoming pregnant again for 6 months to a year. Even if there's no particular medical complication, because having babies one after the other is also a suffix sakana. Based on medical consultation, it seems to me that it's appropriate for a woman who's had a baby to try to avoid becoming pregnant for up to a year. What's the doctor say? So in that Nishmas Avraham, Rav Shlomo Zalman is quoted in the bottom of the his question against Chazanish, quote, Gam acharei leidari shona. She only had one child, by definition, not talking about twins. She didn't fulfill Puravu yet. What's the answer? The Netziv. Chazanish was like the Netziv. That having one child, leidari shona, is the fundamental fulfillment of Puravu. Now, in the time of the Gemara, as you well know, if you learned the Sugas and Yevamos, they would nurse their children typically for 2 years. It's Rashi and Parshas Vayera. B'yomi Gomel es Yitzchak. And if you nurse completely, with no formula and no baby food, that, even to this day, is an excellent contraceptive. On this basis, there were those who claim that up until 2 years, not just 1 year, until 2 years, practicing contraception is mutter, because that's what they always did in the old days. You'll find it in print.
Why is that comparable? Because one is directly getting to the issue, one is, I don't know, when one nurses, one can't have children?
if a woman nurses completely with no supplements at all, she's not going to become pregnant.
So why is that compared? One is directly attacking the issue. One is directly going after the liver. One is like a side effect of nursing. So why would that be a remand?
Again, we're discussing the issue of whether there's an obligation to try to have children more frequently than once every, what are we saying? 2¾ years. My math is right. So they didn't do it in those days. They would nurse for 2 years even though they wouldn't become pregnant. They could have gotten off the nursing before the 2 years. No. So today too, there are those who claim, even using outside methods, as you correctly point out, it would be okay. And it's Shut B'nai Bonim by the grandson of the famous Rav Henkin. He quotes this from his grandfather, Rav Moshe, in the Tshuva. Ebenezer Chelik Aleph Simon Samagdala said, there were those who stayed in Lithuania, they were matir for 2 years. Sheke v'chazov. No one ever said it. The two Gedolim lived right around the block from each other. And apparently they had this dispute, assuming that Rav Henkin, the grandson, is quoting accurately, which I think he is. After 2 years, then she's mishubedes to her husband, like a healthy woman. As the Pesach Tshuva said, if she doesn't have unusual weakness or unusual illness, the question becomes, how meshubed is she to her husband to have more children? Must she go into double digits? It seems to me that it all depends on the understanding at the time of the marriage. And since, as a rule, it's not spelled out, no contract, it all depends on the group to which they belong. That's the assumption, the default position, as to what the general range of numbers of children is. If they're from Hasidic families, yes, double digits. Healthy Hasidic women will typically have double digits children. It's a fact. You like it, you don't like it, I'm not making any comments now. It's a reality. People come to me to raise money, you know, for Achlas Kaf, Meretz Yisrael. I have 11 children, I have 12 children, I have 13 children. You know, this is, you know, they're not lying. They show me the pictures. It's the families. They're huge families, Baruch Hashem. It's wonderful. We'll call yeshivish couples. It's not as high, the birth rate. Pretty high, but maybe in the high single digits on average. Let me count what they call today MO. I'm just using it as a term of, I don't like to use the term. But there, the birth rate is much, much lower. Whatever it is, I haven't figured it out yet. But it's not double digits, not in the highest. We'll call it in the low single digits. That means, I guess you call that five or less. Halavai, we should reach five. Halavai. So therefore, let's say, I don't know, a couple gets married in a more of a modern setting, and then he flips, puts on a streimel, I don't know what. And he says, okay, Chana, go. One, two, and he starts counting, three, to a minion. She says, what, are you out of your mind? I'm a baby machine? He says, but look at all the people that we're hanging out with now. He says, yeah, that's you want. You changed the rules midstream. When we got married, we figured we'd be like the people in a different community where if you have five kids, that's a lot. That's how I understand it. But as a general rule, when I meet with a Chas and Kala, I tell them that if they're going to have a dispute about having a child down the road, They can save themselves a trip to come to me. Because I'm always going to decide in favor of the woman. Always. I never say always, but almost always. Which means that if the woman is not ready for another child and the man wants, she wins. Kert. The woman wants another child. The man that can't afford it, she also wins. A woman has a desire to have children. We have to honor it. I, as no money, He can't afford one child either. I mean, guaranteed. No one can afford a child. Are you kidding? Today's world, tuition alone could bankrupt everybody. Okay. So now we come to what I'll call the last part. I want to give you plenty of time for questions. If you have any questions now, why is this such a silent audience? Raise your hands. Ask questions. Okay. I'll give you opportunity towards the end. The Rambam writes, Oyisa Adam Akora Uzkena V'Ailanis Uktana Sheneru Yoleleit Elim Ken Kia Mrs. Piri V'Rivya. What fascinates me now is Ketana. Understand, Akora, Uzkena, Ailanis, that's it, it's doomed for life. So he has not fulfilled Puruvu. If he marries this woman, he's not allowed. He's in effect, by choosing this as a person as a wife, he's not going to have any chance for him to fulfill Puruvu. Shouldn't do that. What about a Ketana? What's the beholder, Abosai? Just wait a few years, she'll become a gadola. For catch, you'll have more children. The younger she is, the greater child expectancy there can be. Okay, so she's 10 years old now. A little young for a bride. But you know, she has then, she reaches puberty very soon. And then she can have children for 40 years. Can't do that if you marry a 20-year-old. Hey, sounds... No, not how to do it. Says the Magen Mishnah, Kwai, Afal Pishi Bo Lechlal Bonim, Hashtu Mechuyuf, Vilav Bas Bonimi. It's a Tosef to Nivamis. On this basis, it seems to me clear that it's prohibited under normal circumstances for a couple to practice contraception upon marriage. A woman who's on birth control pills, forgive the expression, is a ketana. She can be 21, but she's a ketana. She's making herself into a ketana. She's making herself from a woman who can have a child to one who cannot have a child. I should go off the birth control in 2 years. It's like the 10-year-old girl, and then she'll turn 12, she goes off the birth control. She can have a child. And that's exactly why the Rambam said that before Puruvu is accomplished, the man is chayav livol b'chol onok de'livros v'livros. Can't say I'll wait a year. No such thing. Now, it is true that the Rambam allows in certain limited cases someone to postpone marriage. Lasik b'torah. We don't have to worry about financial pressures. And there are those who equate other needs, his needs or her needs, to studying Torah. The Gemara has a Masechta Sota, a famous Gemara, based on the Psukim in Parsha Shoftim. Asher Bona, Bayis, Asher Nota Kerem, Asher Eres Isha, Limda Torah Derech Eretz. Yivna Adam Bayis, Yita Kerem, Machach Yisa Isha. Masha writes, Mi Sheyesh Lo, Yasa Kaseda Razeh, Lisa Isha Bachron. That's the ideal way to do it. And therefore, there were certain parts of Europe where they postponed marriage a significant amount of time till the man was financially established. You know the old German model? They first had to make a parnosa, as long as that took, and then you can contemplate getting married. You get married later. So, the Torah Tmima, right there, says as follows. According to Marsha, I quote, Rak mi sheyesh lo lehotzi al hakol yino kaseder hazeh. Okay, you first build a house, plant the vineyard, and then get married. You can only afford one of the three. A house, a vineyard, or a wife. You choose the most important one. It's not the house, I'm sorry, it's not the vineyard. Otherwise, says the Torah Tvima, Mishuani lo yisa yisha li'olam. He'll never get married. He can't afford marriage. That's crazy. Quotes Ksubis Amasafta Sarah Xanamid base. Yosam Shabali Saisha. They come to our house all the time. No, I lost my father. I get married. I have no money. What do you do? You got it stuck up for a house and for a bed and for furnishings, and you give him, he should get married. That's all you give him. You don't buy him a house. You just rent him one. You don't buy him a vineyard. You don't give him a parnasa. Just give him enough to get by right now. And you should get married. The Ezer Mikodesh, which is printed in some of the Shulchan Aruch, the back, some of the bottom. Simen Ayin Vav Siv Vav. Otu Oni She'ein Lo B'mala Farnes Yeladin. You mean to tell me that a person is poor and cannot support children? Yeah, potem mitzvah says, hey, the pru revu? Question mark, exclamation point. Inconceivable. Impossible. How can it be? You want to stall off till you learn more Torah, till you make more parnasa? That's before you're married. Once you're married, in my opinion, chayliva b'cholona, and now with both birth control pills, as the Rambam said. Now, as I told you before, you have sitting here a liberal with respect to spacing children. Very liberal. That's after they have one child. Before that, unless the mother's health is compromised, she's some kind of condition, it's not safe to have children. It's a different story. What will happen? There's a fear of giving birth to children who are not well. Some genetics or other consideration. So Rav Moshe writes, if to be a tsar gidl l'shonim harbe, she's not required to have such a child. Not meshubah to a husband. Shlomo Zalman phrases it, if the husband's afraid that the tsar is going to have from these sick children, it's worth to him more than 1/5 of his money, potter. The general rule is, you know, you're potter, it's all based on Gemara Ksubos. You're based up to 1/5, not more.
How would you judge that? You like offer him a deal, like I'll take 1/5 of your money and you won't have to go through.
That's right. It's hard to do, but that's right. Ani lo mevin et Rav Shlomo Zalman. Ani lo mevin oto. I don't understand it. You mean to tell me that a person, it's cost him more than 1/5 of his money to have children, is potter? You're lucky if you have 1/5. We were about, you know, by Yosef and Paro there. You keep 1/5, you're lucky. All the money goes out to the children. I don't understand Rav Shlomo Zalman. See, from personal experience. All the money goes to the children. What's money for, Rav Yosef? What's money for? To put in the bank account, to buy fancy furnishings. The money is, Baruch Hashem. Children need to have their food, their clothes, they need their tuition, like, whatever it is. All the money goes to the children. Am I correct? Do you and your wife have at least 1/5, maybe? Probably not. All the money goes to the children. I'm not telling you Rabbi Yehuda's secret. When they get married, it doesn't stop. In the outside world, kids get married, that's it. In the Torah world, it doesn't work that way. Baruch Hashem, children have children of their own, and they don't have enough money to support them, so, you know, Baruch Hashem. Ish kemat nas yado. You got to take care. That's the Torah's outlook. This is not the world's outlook. I want to say one thing before I tell you a great story. I believe that the Pesach of Rav Shlomo Zalman is correct, but Vlad Mitameh. In my view, if he knows in advance the children are going to be Chas V'Shalom impaired, He's not allowed to have six children. You know why? Osur litzair odom Yisrael. You're not permitted to inflict pain upon a member of Am Yisrael. If you know you're going to have kids that are going to be sick, chalila, that'd be such terrible pain. How can you do such a thing? And if they be chalila, die young, achas v'shalom. Only worried about people who are going to be terribly sick and have terrible pain. Different case. Okay, great story. So you already heard from me that I'm not a big fan of birth control upon marriage. So I once asked a question. The young couple was getting married and they had no money, of course, like most young couples have no money. They asked me, can we practice birth control? I said, no. Okay. I got an irate call from this young lady's father, who I never met. I remember it was the camp, it was in Morashah. I took his call on the steps of the Beis Medrash, I still remember. When I walked outside, he says, Rabbi, it was told to me, I heard, that you gave me a certain decision, that contraception. I was very surprised even. I didn't tell him. What's his business? But obviously people say more than they should. So I'm not going to deny it. I said, yeah, it's true. He says to me like this. I heard his voice like this. Are you willing to accept the financial responsibility for this child? What's going on? You're going to sue me for the psak. I said, I will not answer that question. But Baruch Hashem, baby was born right away. And you give a bouncing baby to a grandfather, all of his angst and everything just disappears in a split second. All of a sudden, but he has no money. Money. He starts showing the pictures to all his friends on his iPod. Doesn't go Dalai Lama's without it. What are you talking about? We can't afford. It's all in perspective. I have another story to tell, which I was asked to tell. The story goes back over 30 years ago. I was called up by a young man who was a chassan. I really hardly knew him. Knew him from Morasha. And he wanted to speak to me with his kallah. Fine. So they came to the CBI member on the Motzoi Shabbos. They want to talk about birth control. So by the way, you came to the wrong address. Said you don't want to hear what I have to say. Please, I wish you a good Shavua Tov and Mazel Tov. You know, why am I going to... No. We decided whatever you say goes. Crazy people. I said, no, we insist. So what's the issue? After the issue, there must be some kind of issue. What's going on? So if I'm not mistaken, if I recall correctly, the issue was that he was a doctor, and he was already, I think it's an interning somewhere, and he would never be home at night. Those days, you know, those days, the mama never came home. And she was emotionally fragile, a young girl. She'd go by herself every night almost, and she'd be pregnant. She just didn't have the emotional strength at that point in time to go through with it. I said, I'm sorry. She starts to tear up a little bit. But it's very dangerous to change your psak based on a few tears. Who was the first one to make that mistake? Adam HaRishon. That's what it says in Chazal. Chava said, Hashem said no. She pulled out the oldest trick in the book. She started to cry. So he said he gave it. So she started a little. I saw a little teary. I said, I feel a little bad. I wish them Shavuot Tov, and they went on their way. Good. Fast forward 10 years. I'm at a yeshiva dinner, and I meet this couple. I say, can we talk to you privately? I say, yeah, sure. We go into a corner of the room. And he says to me, do you remember us? I said, sure. Do you remember that we came to you before we got married? I said, yes. Do you remember what we came to ask you about? I said, yes. My memory is pretty bad. It's gotten worse since then, but this I remembered. He reaches into his wallet and pulls out a picture of five delicious children. And he tells me like this. When you walked out of your house, you walked into the car, and my wife and my Kala burst out into uncontrollable sobbing and tearing and crying. She didn't have it within her. But she was a woman of her word. They agreed. Because of your psak, you were blessed by Hashem with these five wonderful children. 10 years later, we realize how right the psak was. We were young. We thought, how could we do it? It's impossible. Either we couldn't afford it, or we couldn't afford it emotionally, whatever. These are considerations which are, in the long-term perspective, relatively insignificant. We're asking you, tell our story to everybody. Tell our story to any audience, any person, tell them our story. If they think at age 21, that they just don't have the ability, whether it be financially or emotionally, whatever it is, they're thinking from the perspective of a 21-year-old. Now they're 31 or 35, whatever, however old they happen to be respectively, we realize that the best thing in the world was to have children, and to have children young. Kichitzin b'yadgir b'kein b'nei ha'nu'urim. Someone who's mile ha'shposer has many of them. It's fortunate. It's praiseworthy. Here I must disagree with some esteemed rabbinic colleagues, some who serve as rebbeim here in this yeshiva, some who are rabbis in important shuls, where they have taken a different tack for the following reason. And I sympathize with the reason, I just disagree. Unfortunately, there's been a rash of early divorces in Klal Yisrael. They get married, within a year they're divorced. And this is true in the Orthodox community and all parts of the Orthodox community. It's an unfortunate reality. Now, if there's a child, it causes such problems. First, it can cause a terrible custody battle. The custody battle can last much longer than the marriage. I know of such cases. Terrible. And the child's not going to be able to grow up in a house with two natural parents together. It's also terrible. So they say, you know what? Every couple should wait a year, see if the marriage is going to work out. No guarantee it'll work out forever, but okay, after a year, you know, got through the Shana Rishona, Baruch Hashem, Kol HaSchalos Koshes. I cannot agree with that psak. Number one, yes, there's been a spike in such cases. It's still what we call a mir she'ena matzui. It's only in single digits. That's what the mumchim tell me. Even in the Orthodox community. And this basis, I don't think you have a right to paskin for the whole world. Yeah, routinely, every chasna kala should be miraculous birth control for a year. I will concede that if I would think, based on my own limited analysis, that this marriage is not going to work, if I had my druther to tell them not to get married, but they're not going to listen. So if I think it's not going to work, I would concede to this psak. I would tell him, permissible to use birth control. Wouldn't quite tell them why, because that might be not a nice thing to do. I'll find another reason. I've done it on a few occasions. Or, of course, if it's a health concern. Health is a different story. Health includes, by the way, mental health. Not this girl was just had a little emotional weakness. I mean, real mental health concerns. You know, especially if they're taking medications, things of this nature. Let me tell you, there's another consideration here. There are couples who get married, practice birth control, when they decide after a year or two or more, they want to have children. All of a sudden, not so simple. Infertility problems, Rabbi Osai, is a mir tamatzui, for those who know. It's more than 10%. the single most significant criterion with respect to infertility is the age of the woman. The younger, the better. They're going to throw out two best years, whatever number, for whatever reason, and later on, chas v'shalom, the doctor says, oh, 2 years ago you could have had children, now you can't. Shem Yishmer v'yirach. I know stories of couples that had children right away, a child or two, and then they had terrible problems of secondary infertility and they had no more children. Couldn't. Thank God. They didn't wait. I have more to say, but I will first open the floor for questions. If you have any questions, please ask them now. Yes.
One thing I missed, when you were discussing Moshe Feinstein Rav Shlomo Zalman, that was once you've already had
a child. Moshe Rav Shlomo Zalman was discussing a situation where there's a fear of having a child that's not going to be healthy for whatever genetic or other reason.
So,
nothing with one abort, nothing with anything.
Well,
I guess in the average case, in years gone by, you wouldn't discover this till after the child was born with some problem. They say, oh, gewalt, there's a problem for all the children.
So that could, says one-fifth of your body could uproot a mitzvah per year.
That's what he said. Yes, sir.
If you're talking about the genetic thing, right, it doesn't look like half the children or a quarter of the children. Right?
That's correct. Many of these recessive situations, it's only one-fourth of the children are going to have the problem. But you know, Russian roulette is not a good game to play. How was Darya Sharma founded? You know, Rabbi Eckstein, Zalzayin Gazunt, you know how it happened? He lost how many children?
At least four.
You know, that was more than one-fourth of his children. You can't assume, you know, all right, I'll roll the dice. I'll have three other children and one sick child. Nebuchadnezzar's going to die in 2 years. All right, we'll take the risk. It's a risk which, that's why I'm opposed to such marriages going through in the first place. Now, I know that today, they talk about IVF and PGD, for those who know what that means, that's b'dieved. So they got married, they suddenly discovered that for some reason they didn't pick up the labs, or they didn't do the test, whatever, and there's a difficult problem of they both carry the same recessive gene. All right, tell us if they got divorced, I wouldn't say. I think it was IVF, PGD. But they go out, they should go to Darya Sharim or some, or the open testing and find out if they both carry the same recessive gene, which could be have a disaster. They shouldn't get married. Sounds unromantic, but I think it's the truth. IVF, PGD is not a piece of cake. You know, you put a Band-Aid. You know, it's very difficult. First, we have to be on birth control the whole life. Then, it's not only expensive financially, but it's also expensive. My mother gets juiced up with it. It's not so poshut. You know when I think that it could be done the chatchila? I'll tell you when. With the problem of a dominant gene. With a dominant gene. So if you're not going to allow the IVF PGD, either take a chance, one of them on Russian roulette, or never get married, that's a shas atzchak. That's okay. Then I think I just got a call this week. They want to practice IVF PGD because there's a certain significant genetic problem that one of them has. I said, you have my blessing. Because the alternative is, well, go marry someone else. She can't marry someone else. If she marries, she has a problem. It's dominant. Any other questions? Yes. That's an excellent question. Some are of the opinion, and I respect that point of view, I don't agree. Just as the Rambam allowed a person to postpone marriage for certain reasons. So, let's be logical. Let's take the case he wants to learn Torah. So what, the highest possible is learning Torah. So instead of getting married at 18, as it says in the Mishnah, right? 18, he'll postpone until, as they did in the Miri Yeshiva, until, what? 27? Okay, see, we'll wait 9 years. Or they say in Yiddish, Adavant alangish monestre. Ben Shmonesi Lechop, it lasts until 27. How long Shmonesi had in the Mir Yeshiva? And the Mir Yeshiva never entered their wildest dreams to get married at 18 and practice birth control until 27. Maybe they felt that even marriage alone would take him away from his learning. That's a possibility. But even if it's a question of the child, that was not, they never had a havamina. Because they understood that when a person gets married, it's k'lifros v'lirvos, and the two go together. I'll ask me, but if you want to be perfectly logical, cold logic, we'll call maybe a kalta litvak, maybe you should say, look, if he's married these 9 years, and avoids having children, so he'll have many mitzvahs more, mitzvah of ona, and he won't have any hurim roim, and all kinds of stuff. Or if he's single from 18 to 27, it's going to cause hurri avera. My answer is, you're right. But afal pikein, I don't want to separate between the mitzvah of marriage and the mitzvah of having children, because the two go together. So I'm upset. Your point, I'm not discounting your point. It's well taken. I just think that what I'm telling you is in fact correct. Any other questions? Okay, so my last point, I only have another. We dive in 2:33 downstairs. No, I was finished 2:30. I'm finishing 2:30. I try to be good. The connection between Pru Ravu and marriage, which is clear in the Rambam, forgive me for saying this, we talk about family planning. As I said at the beginning of the shiur, a family is a married man and a married woman, married to each other. That's a family. Other than that, we don't believe in having children in the first place. It pains me to say that there are now situations in which there's no husband and wife, and they're having children anyway. What? What? How? Where? What? Either single women are having children, how they go about it, either be yisr or so-called beheter, artificial insemination, or other units. I don't want to get involved in those units right now. Part of the new Rosh HaTevis. Okay, whatever. So in my view, this is absolutely prohibited. And I was asked, why am I saying that? If a man cannot have children, so Rav Moshe was mad to artificial insemination, even though according to the Satmar Rebbe, it's adultery. Here, the woman is single, can't be adultery, should be mutter b'kal v'chomer. Once again, you're thinking technically. You're right. The technical perspective of Eish HaSish and things of this nature, you're right. But it's against the entire concept that Pru Ravu is in the family context. Yes, in the sad situation where the man has no zera, and they have to use someone else's zera, donor sperm, it's still the child's being brought up in the family context. Whether he finds out that it's the father, the so-called, not his father, that's a different story. But he's brought up in the family, with a father, a so-called father and a mother. Contrast this with someone who's brought up with no father, with only a mother or two. That's a destruction of Klal Yisrael, of the family unit. So I quoted the pasuk. The pasuk says, "Al ken yazov ish as ove v'ishto, as ove v'esima v'davak v'ishto." So it's Rashi v'davak v'ishto. This is the Vlad, right? V'hoyel le'basarechem. Basarechem is the Vlad, the child. So v'davak v'ishto v'basarechem. Children should be born in the context of a family of a husband and a wife. Pru Ravu Rabosai is both a mitzvah and a bracha. That's Rashi says. We must follow that through the fulfillment of Pru Ravu, the mitzvah, properly, we should be zocha to the bracha of Pru Ravu, and the bracha of Lo Yir B'cha'okah V'akorah, Amen V'yamin.